Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Nehemiah chapter 8. In the B part or second half of verse 10, the Word of God says, "This day is holy unto our Lord." By the way, which day is holy unto God? Every day. Every day is holy unto God. Why? Because He made it. Because He has a plan for you for that day. He purposed in eternity for you to encounter something each day. You may not notice it, you may notice it. But there's a plan from God for each day for you. That means each day is valuable. Each day has a purpose. You can live with God each day. You can get eternal rewards each day. Because every moment of every day was planned by God for you. And then it continues, neither be sorry. Don't be sorry about anything. Right? Sometimes we regret things. Sometimes we become sorry. If you make a mistake and you apologize and you say, "I'm sorry," that's not what I'm talking about. That's actually a good practice. But in your own life, don't be sorry about anything. Why? Because each of your days was planned by God. Sometimes you can wonder about, "Well, you know, I really could have done better yesterday." You know what? Each day was planned by God. So don't be sorry about anything. And then it says, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." How do you become a very strong person? Have the joy of the Lord. How do I get the joy of the Lord? Well, the way that you get the joy of the Lord is by living in the consciousness of His presence. In other words, you're aware He's there. Sometimes you're not necessarily talking to Him. Maybe you're at school and you're doing something, but you're still aware that He's there. It's like when you ride in a car and you're with people in the car and you're not necessarily saying anything, but you're aware that those people are there. That's how it is with God. You live in the awareness that God is there. That's a very good thing to develop, the awareness that God is there. Why? Number one, He is there. And number two, knowing that He's there can become extremely helpful. It'll build your confidence. It'll give you somebody that you can rely on. There's always a place you can turn when you have a problem. Even if you're entirely by yourself as far as people go, God is always there. You always have somebody to talk to. Why? Because God is always there. There's always somebody to care about you. Why? Because God is always there. There's somebody always there who loves you. Why? Because God is always there. So practicing this, learning how to live with this awareness of God's presence is actually pretty important. Because we need all those things in our lives. Everybody does. Some people have them, some people don't. The ones who have them do much better. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's the first thing, knowing that He's there. The second thing is knowing His Word. Because when you know God's Word, you have His promises. His promises can take away all your worries. As a matter of fact, God says, "Don't worry about it. I give you promises." Whatever it is, don't worry about it. I give you promises. And the promises of God are not capable of lying. You ever think to yourself, "Well, God can do anything?" That's true with this one exception. God can do anything, but He cannot lie. God can do anything, but He can't forsake you. So there's two things God can't do. God can do anything, but there's things God simply will not ever do. And so in that respect, God can't do them because He simply refuses to do them. You can't get God to forsake one of His people. It will never happen. Why? He'd have to move out. He lives in you. And God's not interested in moving out. When God came into your heart, He came for good. He's never going to leave. When you have this stuff, it develops your confidence, it takes away your anxiety, takes away stress, takes away fear, takes away all the things that make life unpleasant, and it brings in all the things that make it pleasant. And that develops joy in your heart. And that is your strength. Have you ever noticed that if you're sad, It's like you really don't feel like doing much of anything. If you're sad, like, leave me alone. I just don't want to. I'm not up to it. I can't handle it today. I'm sad. But when you're happy, it's like, bring it on. Right? When you're happy, it's like, I can handle anything. Well, the fact of the matter is you can have joy all of the time. Because joy is not dependent on your circumstances, on what's going on around you. Joy is dependent on the fact that God is there. And God gives you promises. And God takes care of you. And God is the one who fights the battles, takes care of the problems. Any issue you have, God takes care of it. And that produces tremendous joy. And that's our strength. Now here's the thing. In John 10:10, the devil is a thief. And one of the things he would like to do is to steal your joy. That is a big strategy that he uses. He steals people's joy. When that happens, people become kind of miserable. They can become depressed. They can become frustrated or angry. They can become insecure. All kinds of negative things happen when the devil steals their joy. And the way that he steals their joy is through circumstances or people who act in an ungodly manner toward us. Things like that. He can try to steal our joy, but we can protect from having our joy stolen. And it's important that we learn how to protect our joy, because our joy is our strength. So if we protect our joy, we're actually protecting our strength. Now the Word of God says in Habakkuk 2:4 that the soul that is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just will live by faith. Now the soul that's lifted up, that's talking about pride in the different areas of our soul. There's five things that make up your soul. The first one is your mind, your thinking. People who've died and the doctors brought them back. While they were dead, they tell us that their soul left their body. And interestingly enough, it leaves through their mouth. A lot of these people say their soul left through their mouth. And I'll never forget this one testimony. I heard this guy in an interview with him. He said he was in the emergency room. He had a heart attack or something. I don't remember now. But he was in the emergency room. And his soul was leaving his body through his mouth. And his foot got caught in his mouth. He had a mind. He could hear what people were saying. He could see what people were doing. All this stuff. But he wasn't inside of his body anymore. That was his soul. And he actually saw the doctors and nurses working on him. And he heard their conversations. And then when the doctors brought him back, his soul entered back into his body. And he told them what he heard, and he was right. It was accurate. As a matter of fact, now I'm going on a little bit of an aside, but I think this is worth repeating. There's this famous lady who had a talk show named Oprah. And she had this doctor on who worked in an emergency room. And he was not a believer. But he heard a lot of people that he helped to bring back after they died. In other words, they're dying and he saves their life. And then people come to him and they tell him about their experiences while they were dead. Which, according to his thinking, because he was not a believer, he thought they shouldn't have any. But they were having experiences, so he did a test. Most emergency rooms have a trauma room. That means for people who are severely injured, you can actually even do surgery in a trauma room, or at least start surgery in a trauma room if you need to. So severely injured people are often taken into a trauma room. And in trauma rooms, there tends to be a big operating room light so that the doctors can see really well what they're doing. And it's usually right at the ceiling. And this guy was in the emergency room and he went into the trauma room alone and he cut out a picture from a magazine and he taped it on top of the trauma room light because you could not see on top of the light when you were just standing on the floor there. But people reported floating to the ceiling and looking down on their body and looking at people that their soul left their body. So he wanted to test it. So he didn't tell anybody the picture was there, not even the nurses, not the other doctors, nobody. And then when he would, what's called resuscitate, he would save their lives, bring them back. He would ask these people about what they saw. And every single one of them saw the picture. Every single one of them told him what was on the picture. And so he was not a believer before he did this, but he started being a believer afterwards. Why? Because it's real. Well, the first part of your soul is your mind. The second part of your soul is your emotions. The third part of your soul is your self-image, also known as self-consciousness. The fourth part of your soul is your conscience, which is the things you're aware of. And the last part of your soul is your volition, your choices, your ability to choose. Well, if one of those things becomes magnified more than God, I may be very smart, but if I magnify in my thinking the fact that I'm smart and I become puffed up about my ability to think, that means I'm proud and I'm not right with God. If I magnify my emotions, everything becomes about how I feel. Well, if that's the thing, then I'm proud and I'm not right with God. Or my self-image, I'm constantly trying to defend my ego and have this big ego. That person is proud and they're not right with God. That's what it means, the soul is lifted up. But a person who lives in faith simply trusts God. They don't magnify themselves, they magnify God. And when you magnify God, tremendous joy comes into your life. Because when you magnify God, you magnify all that He is, you magnify all He has done, and you magnify all He has said. And that becomes the big issue in your life. And that leads you to tremendous joy. If you want to protect your joy, make God very big in your life and yourself pretty small in your life. People who lose joy become very big in their own eyes and God becomes very small in their own eyes. But John the Baptist said that Christ must increase and I must decrease. Well, that was a smart move because that produces enormous joy. People who are very big in their own eyes, they usually tend to be very miserable people. But people who are pretty small in their own eyes and have a very big God in their opinion, they're very happy people. Those are the happiest people there are. And that may seem to us like, well, I don't know if I want to be small in my own eyes. Trust me, you don't want to be big. You say, well, there's certain things I like. That's fine. God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all those things will be added unto you. But seek first His kingdom. And then all those things will be added unto you. God's ability to give is much greater than my ability to take. So what I can produce for myself doesn't even begin to touch what God can do for me. And so you stay very small in your own estimation. You don't think too much of yourself. I'm not saying think poorly of yourself. I'm not saying think highly of yourself. I'm just saying don't think too much about yourself. And then God will think about you for you. See, if I'm thinking about me all the time, God has no need to think about me. Somebody's already doing the job. But if I let God think about me and God take care of me, and I respond to Him, then the sky's the limit. Now, I'm not saying you're going to become some religious kind of whatever. No, you're going to be a completely normal person with a whole lot more in their life than people without God. And that produces huge joy. That protects your joy. Now, let me ask you, do you like being happy or miserable? Which do you think is better, happy or miserable? All right, show of hands. I prefer to be happy. Okay, I think, is it, okay.
Next question.
Okay, show of hands, I prefer to be miserable. That's interesting. Everybody's hand went up for happy, nobody's hand went up for miserable. No kidding. This is how you protect it. This is how you get there. You see, God gives you a way to have tremendous joy and to have it all the time. And He says, stay humble and draw near to me and you'll have tremendous joy. And by drawing near to Him, we get His word, we go to church, We trust Him. We believe His Word. That's a big one. And all of a sudden we find out, hey, you know what? Life is pretty good. And these people who walk around saying life is so miserable, you know what? They are enormous in their own eyes and God is puny. You see, it's like this. It's not that they become big and God becomes small. You know what a dime looks like, right? Imagine if you put a dime right in front of your eyeball. There's this tiny little coin right in front of your eyeball, but it'll take up everything you can see. That's what I'm talking about. When you stare at yourself so much that it takes up everything you can see, you can't see God. But when you put the dime far away from you, you can still see the dime, but you can see everything else. And that's what we're talking about. Stay small in your own eyes. Let self-orientation, self-centeredness be very far from you. Let God orientation, in other words, seeing God, thinking with Him, living in His presence, in the awareness of it, let that be very close to you. And then all you're going to see is God. But you know what? That's the best thing to see. It's funny the way the brain works. What we think of as sight, yeah, I can see and it's important, but it doesn't show me reality. It just keeps me from running into walls. But can you see China? God can. He can see you and China right now. Can you see the future? God can. And He can see the past and the present, and He sees it all right now. And He gives you, in your heart, the ability to be aware of all these things, even though you can't see them. And you do it through faith. And so when you keep God big in your eyes, you actually get a much better understanding of pretty much everything. Because He gives you that understanding. If you keep Him small, He's not going to give you a lot of understanding. Because you're going to simply depend on what you can do, which compared to Him is nothing. No human being can do anything compared to God. And so we want to make sure that we keep God very big, and that will produce joy. The Word of God says in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit, kind of a depressed, sad, kind of like dreary spirit, it dries up your bones. And you kind of feel like that when you're there. You get all sad and gloomy and stuff, and you feel like your body weighs a ton. It has nothing to do with your body. It's just what it feels like. But you get this merry heart, this joyful heart. And man, you just like all your troubles, you don't even care about what your troubles are. Because you have joy in your heart. Never allow the devil to take away your joy. Don't ever look at circumstances so much that you stop looking at God. See your circumstances through Him. Let Him be the filter that you see through. If you're the filter you see through, then you're not going to see much good. But if God is the filter you see through, you won't even know there is something that's not good. And it's not that you're not aware of it. It's that you'll see the positive in it. Because God will show it to you. Do you guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.